And it is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, where we are joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious, Joe.
That's the only mayonnaise, man. Of everything, and I'm not just saying it because Baldy's on and they're sponsoring everything, that's the one to go to because it's so much more than just a burger or a turkey sandwich. You can dip french fries in that bad boy. I mean, it gets everything. Brian Baldinger joins us right now. Baldy, good morning. How you doing there, brother?
Hey, Joe. Good morning to you, man. I'm doing well, buddy. Good to be with you here today.
Well, listen, not everything's great around here, as you can imagine.
No.
After the way they played the last 2 weeks, you did warn me about Buffalo, by the way. You have been talking about how good. By the way, that offensive line, let's talk about Buffalo for just a second. Top five offensive line, even better. How do you rank them?
I think they're higher than five, Joe. And Aaron Cromer's the coach there. I've known Aaron a long time. He's a great coach. But, you know, you look at Connor McGovern going in at center. I like big centers. I like guys that are 330 pounds. You know, they're a big offensive line. They got a nasty guy in Deion Dawkins at left tackle, nasty guy at Spencer Brown. I mean, they're playing really well. They, whatever you want to do, you want to pound the football, they're good at it. You want to protect that MVP candidate in Josh Allen, they're good at that. They're playing, and they played every snap together, Joe. They don't have guys going in and out of the lineup. They might be the best right now through 3 weeks.
You know, it's incredible, too, because the question really wasn't the O-line. The question was, well, they got Josh Allen, but who's he going to throw to? How about a little bit of everybody, and we'll average 37 points a game through the first three games? Maybe the best story or one of the two best stories in football?
Yeah. I mean, you know, you lose your top two receivers, obviously, in Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis, and, you know, you're wondering what's going to happen. Well, they haven't missed anybody. I mean, Dalton Kincaid has stepped up. Khalil Shakir has been fine. Keon Coleman caught his first touchdown pass. I mean, it's like the old thing, you know. Like, the quarterback's going to throw it to the open receiver. And if they're not open, he's going to use his magic and his, you know, his 6'5", 240-pound frame to go extend the play and go find somebody getting open. Or he'll just keep it himself. So it has not been an issue so far. Maybe against Baltimore on Sunday night, Joe. Maybe it'll show up a little bit. But to this point, it hadn't been an issue at all.
Yeah. All right, so I got to bring it back here. And the Dolphins situation at quarterback, Skylar Thompson, gets a start. I thought with the experience he's had, he's been in this offense, this is the third year, and I was totally disappointed by his play. Just didn't look comfortable before getting injured finally. What do the Dolphins do now, and can they win around this quarterback thing that they have, considering they have Tennessee and New England the next two games?
Well, they could win this game, Joe. I mean, defensively, they gave up the big play to DK, but otherwise, they weren't bad at all. But offensively, like, why is Tyreek Hill not involved in the offense? Why is Julian Hill getting the targets? Or, you know, a bunch of no-name tight ends. Like, they waited 17 plays, Joe, to get at least an attempt to pass to Tyreek Hill. He didn't catch one until the final minute of the first half.
Crazy.
Like, that's your best player. So, I mean, I know they want to try to run the ball, and, you know, the offensive line is in jumbled, and Teron goes in and out. But, you know, regardless, you got to get the ball in the hands of your best player. And, you know, when you don't, I don't care what the name of the back of the receiver's jersey are. They all feel like they're not a part of the offense that day. And I don't think he felt a part of it.
Yeah, no, listen, that was frustrating to see the two wide receivers not involved in the offense. By the way, I got to ask you because we've been all over the board. Some people come on and go, the offensive line's good, it's okay, it's great, it's not so good, it's terrible, we need to draft those guys. And Baldy, you got to start up pretty good because a lot of people, including me, after you, wanted that center that Tampa Bay has right now that's playing so well. What's your thought overall on this offensive line? And I know Teron has been in and out of the lineup in both games.
Yeah. They're okay. I mean, you lose, you know, Robert Hunt was your probably best run blocker. You know, he couldn't afford him. You know, Connor Williams playing on the other side. He had his hand in a couple of really big plays for Seattle. I mean, he had a couple of penalties, but, I mean, he's better than what they have right now. They don't move the line of scrimmage a lot, Joe, but Mike McDaniels' offense is predicated upon a lot of deception and motions and things like that. They weren't very good. outside of a couple runs by Achan and one by Jalen. But they certainly could be more physical up front. There's no question about it.
Yeah. Defensively, they weren't bad. I mean, they gave up a lot of points in that first quarter and then really calmed down. Is that defense good enough right now, or does it still, considering you got a backup or even maybe a third-string quarterback going to start in either Tyler Huntley or Tim Boyle this week, they got to be even better?
Well, I mean, they got the two turnovers. Sealer got his interception, and Kohu got an interception, gave him great field position.
Great field position.
The offense couldn't score from, the goal line, Joe. It could have been – even when Sealer intercepted that pass, the thing that surprised me about that, Calais got his big paw up there. Sealer gets the interception. It's a 17-3 game. There wasn't any excitement on your Dolphins sideline when that happened. And I was just wondering, do they feel defeated right now because of the quarterback situation? I mean, normally, 17-3 game, you get the ball at midfield. It's still the third quarter. Normally, you're like, okay, let's go get one. Let's go get one again in the game. Make it a one-score game. And I didn't see any excitement whatsoever on that sideline.
The opportunities were there, and you're right. It just seems like there was something missing, and by then, I wonder, you hit on one thing, a couple receivers not getting the football, a little frustration kicks in over on the sideline. I thought about all that same stuff, too. And by the way, those two guys that you mentioned, Sealer and Calais Campbell, you what, they're not the problems. If we're going to look at it, we're going to finger point, leave those two alone, huh?
No, Zach's a great player. I mean, no Christian Wilkins, Calais. I don't know how old Calais is now, 38. I mean, but a guy is still a good football player. I mean, he still makes things happen. He's forcing holding calls in there. They didn't play well up front of that offensive line. They gave up a lot of sacks and pressures. Gino hung in there, made a couple of plays. But that defensive tackle position, it's a strength to this defense right now.
All right, and hey, can I hear about mayonnaise here, Woody, real quick?
All right, Insider Calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season.
Man, that mayonnaise is everywhere. It's like Baldy. That mayonnaise is everywhere, man, in my diet every day. Hey, Baldy.
Hey, Joe, the thing is, you mentioned a turkey sandwich. Like, a turkey sandwich is a choke sandwich. Unless you put a little Hellman's on it.
Yeah.
It's the only way
question.
You can get that turkey down.
No question. And by the way, even the turkey that's sliced for you, if it's there too long, you still need to have that with a little salt and that mayonnaise. And then you got to start adding some extra things on there too. Yeah, no. Hey, one thing, Baldy, you know how to load that bad boy up. I'm not worried about that at all. So this Sam Darnold story with the Vikings, what a great story, man. I mean, he was kind of a throw-in. Everybody thought the rookie gets hurt, and it's Sam Darnold. How do you explain after all these stops, and it looks like he has found a home? My God, he top three quarterback the way he's played so far.
You're spot on. And, I've known Sam a little bit. I've done some football camps with him. He's a great kid. I mean, he was in – it's an example, Joe, of being in bad organizations with all kinds of turnover, like the Jets and Carolina were. He gets to a stable place like San Francisco. He sees what good coaching does, what good players around the quarterbacks do. Now he goes to Minnesota with an elite play caller, an elite play designer, and he's got a very good offensive line. He's got elite receivers. And he's just he's doing what I think everybody thought he always could do. But after you've been injured and, you've been shuffled around and all that, he's got stability right now, and the design of the offense is just brilliant. The things that Kevin O'Connell is doing, like I put something out there last night. I mean, everybody should take a look at what they're doing. It's just very smart, creative offense right now, Joe. And that Aaron Jones still is a great football player. And defensively, I mean, probably don't want to hear this in Miami, but Brian Flores.
Unbelievable.
He's right where he's a great, great defense coordinator. Head coach, I don't know. But defense coordinator, Joe, I don't know that I would take anybody over him right now.
We talked about that. That's popped up a little bit in the love and hate of Brian Flores. I happen to be a big fan. Most of the guys, my guys that are with around the team that travel with him, we're all big fans. He was great to us, but he is an unbelievable defensive coordinator. When a quarterback finishes a game and goes over and tells Brian Flores, I've never had anybody do that to me, what you just did. I have no idea what just happened. It was unbelievable. I mean, that's the ultimate compliment.
It is, and that's the worst game C.J. Stroud's ever played. They put up 7 points, Joe. Like, they could not penetrate. They took away every deep shot. Nothing like that existed. They pressured him. They took away his first read. Like CJ's never looked that confused in any game he's ever played, like he did last week.
Yeah, amazing. Hey, so an interesting one in Pittsburgh, speaking of 3-0 teams here that we're talking about. So Justin Fields has played okay. He hasn't done anything to hurt him. They're a great defensive team, obviously, but they're winning. They're 3-0. They got to stick with Justin Fields, right? Russell Wilson going to stay on the bench while this is going on?
I wouldn't make the change. The offensive line, like, just lost their starting, you know, their first-round pick in Fontenot. It's not really come to get on the offensive line yet. Their best running back, Jalen Warren, who's been in and out, he's out now. Justin Fields has done a great job of just managing things. He's not trying to do too much. He's an elite athlete. Like, I wouldn't change that for anything. I mean, Mike Tomlin can, you know, poo-poo the situation waiting for Russell Wilson. I wouldn't make the change. That team is playing. First of all, they give up 9 points a game, Joe. You're going to win a lot of games, you know, giving up 9 points a game. They're nasty on that side of the ball. So I believe in what Justin's doing. I always was a fan, but, you know, he'll gradually get a little bit better. They don't have a lot of weapons out there. But, you know, he's a weapon himself with his ability to run, extend plays, and make some plays on the run.
Hey, real quickly, Will Levis. Boy, he has been a turnover machine. I know some of the fan base up there in that era is saying, hey, man, we got to sit this guy. But they're really counting on him to be the franchise quarterback. How do they stand on Will Levis with all these turnovers?
Well, the worst part is Malik Willis goes to Green Bay, and he's playing like it's like Aaron Rodgers up there, the way he's playing. Like, he's playing phenomenal, and he doesn't turn the ball over. I mean, the Tennessee should have easily beaten Chicago and the New York Jets the first 2 weeks of the season, but the turnovers were just so bad by Will Levis. So you can't live with those. You know, Callahan's a first-year coach. I mean, those are the things that get coaches one and done, Joe, when your quarterback is giving the ball away like that.
Yeah, man, just amazing stuff. And by the way, the Aaron Rodgers and the Jets – boy, the defense getting better. What's your take on just how good the Jets can be?
They can be good, Joe. I mean, they played Denver this week, and Denver played great in Tampa last week, and I'm going to be up there on the call. But I think this running game, specifically Breece Hall, is going to take off this week. He is a great player. They just really haven't gotten him unleashed yet, but he's a home run hitter. And if they get that running game going, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, his movement is way better than I think anybody thought. You know what it's like. You were around Dan when he came back from his Achilles. It slows you down, but he looks good right now. He's moving really well.
Baldy, always good stuff, man. Really appreciate it. It's great talking to you every week. Thank you so much, man.
My pleasure, Joe. You bet, man. Enjoy that turkey sandwich today, Joe.
Now, you know what? I think I got some extra leftover steak from last night. I'm already thinking about that steak and cheese sandwich today with mayonnaise all over that bad boy. So we got
right.
It. You thanks, Baldy.
Thanks, up with some helmets, Joe. All right,
buddy. Ryan Bollinger, Odyssey NFL Insider.
He's also the host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious.
All right, we got a lot more stuff to get to here. We'll come back and talk a little bit. And Mike Silver, the author of Why Is Everything a Story of Football, that we'll talk about. So we've got a new book coming out. Mike's part of it, Mike McDaniel. So we'll tell you all about all the new coaches that are coming out, and Mike Silver's got all that stuff for you, so we'll talk about the Why Is Everything, a Story of Football Rivalry and Revolution. We'll be right back.
Time for weather, brought to you by the Demesman and Dover Law Firm, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7 at 866-954-MORE. Locally, it doesn't look like there's any rain in the forecast here. I know there's a little bit of a storm situation here, but I think that's missing us here, Joe.
What the hell happened? Right. Everybody's expecting this. Stay home, stay away. It's bad. It's flooding. It's this. Are we going to beat this?
Looks like we have beaten it.
All right, good.
They closed. You know, no one's coming in anyway today.
I know.
Yeah. So they'll work one day this week. All right, time for a stock market report.
You're a bad guy, Woody. You just couldn't let it go. The little sarcasm had to get in there. Those poor salespeople, and you pick on them.
Yeah, tough. The stock market report is sponsored by Kendall Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, home with a $21,000 discount. Kendall Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram.com. Things looking good this morning. NASDAQ futures up 340 points. The Dow up 200. and the S&P up 50. Best of luck to all players. And Joe, you can take it away.
All right, thanks, Woody. And yeah, we're going to have Michael Silver join us, sports columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle. And he's got a book out. I know he spent a lot of time with Kyle Shanahan and his coaching tree of Sean McVay, Mike McDaniel, Raheem Morris, and Matt LaFleur, who's the Green Bay Packers coach, who does a great job too, by the way. And so spent a lot of time with all those guys. So we're going to have him on here towards the end of the show, just a few minutes from now, and we'll talk to him from the West Coast. So he's got to get up a little bit early this morning. He's a Golden Bear too, so he's a cow guy. Find out if he's going to that guy. That game's coming up, what, 2 weeks? Right? It's this game, and then
it's a week from Saturday, yes.
Yeah, so, wow.
ACC After Dark.
At least you're not complaining now. It's good.
Well, I just feel for, you know, Dono, the sun's going to be coming up by the time he wraps up his post-game show. It's, look, for me, it's,
hey, you
it's
win
one
the
thing.
Frigging game, you enjoy it.
Yeah.
You're not tired. You lose the game and you got to go through that, then it's...
Let's see if we can stay awake. By the way, you know, that's early for Monroe, though. So we don't have to worry about Monroe falling asleep on the pregame.
No, Monroe County
Monroe County is early for him, man.
I'll tell you what I miss about Monroe County the most. When he goes, hey, Joe, look at this.
Yeah.
He pops out a couple pictures of beautiful ladies.
You like living through them.
I live through Monroe County.
We all do, bro.
Ladies love Monroe. We all do. The ladies love going to Monroe County.
I'm sure he'd just love us talking about him this morning.
Huh? He won't know. He'll never know. Right. He will never, ever know. Hey, I thought it was interesting. Brian Baldinger, what'd you take from his look?
He made a great point, though, man. He goes, and I've been telling you that all week.
Make
17-3.
Yeah, you said you did say this. You did say this.
Like, how many times are you going to get the ball at 17-3
with a chance to make it a one-score game?
And you put one touchdown up, and then you all of a sudden, you know, Seattle, maybe a little doubt creeps in because that game was—I mean, they were dominating that game. But you get the one touchdown, and it's like,
well, the defense got after them for a while there. They were making. They were
did.
Going. Seattle was going backwards between penalties and sacks, and they were getting after them, and.
But he ripped the offense. He said they were lifeless on the sideline after
he
that
He said after and, that thing yeah. that they just looked like they
did you
were.
Did you get that vibe?
They were defeated? Yeah. Yes. But I had frustration over there. So I have another thought. The mood of the team works through, for me, the mood of this team works through Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill's the best player, as he said. You want Tyreek Hill to be the energy bug and the battery through that whole offense. And you can't have him, and he brought this up too, you can't have the best player maybe in the league, not right now, or the best player on the team not catching a football till late second quarter. That can't happen. I don't know. I don't even know what the time was, but you need to get him involved because you don't want to lose those guys. This team is just made up a little differently, and you want everybody into it and jumping up and down, and it just didn't look like there was any confidence by the Miami Dolphin offense for good reason. I mean, it was like all of them. So those guys are all excited. Oh, we can't wait to play, and we can't wait to see Skyler play, and we can't wait. And then all of a sudden, they're getting open and not getting the ball. And they did get open a few times, by the way. Everybody that's watched the tape said they had some chances, and he was either looking somewhere else or he got flushed out of the pocket, and the play ended up being a disaster.
But Mike's job this week is to find ways, whatever it is, man. If you got to run reverses or something, and I am sick of the screen passes, to be quite honest with you, but – they got to find a way to get the ball in Tyreek's hands. He's got to touch the ball at least 10 times.
He's energy. He's the energy bug of this team. You've got, and by the way, if he's not, then his mood kind of takes everybody else. I mean, I don't know how much, if he realizes, he's one of the cockiest, most confident dudes on a football. Like, he belongs on the football field. You see it. Doesn't matter your size. That guy goes out and, like, he has fun, and he knows you know that he knows, or he knows that you know how good he is, and I love it. But he's got to be one thing. You have got Baldy's right, and the guys at NFL Network. You've got to get him in. He is. Look at. I don't want to keep bringing up that number one list on the Madden game or number one list by NFL players named him the best player in the game, but you got to get him going. And four catches for 30 yards or 40 yards is just – and late in the game and not have him involved. I don't care who's quarterback. I said this, Woody, yesterday. It doesn't matter if you and I are quarterbacking. Find where he is and throw it towards him. You have to. He's got to have targets. Targets just throwing your way.
Yeah, I mean, if it's not targets, again, they got to find some way, some creative way. And you know what? That's why you have offensive guru Mike McDaniel. Like, figure something out.
Yeah.
You can't get shut out in this one.
This will be a good test for Mike to bounce back. And
well, it's the
look
only
at he
test,
ain't
Joe.
He's not Mike's not hiding from it or anything else. He's just but you got to fix it. I appreciate
it. You agree that this is it, right?
This game is huge.
You lose this game, it's rock bottom, and then you can start having the real talks about
Will Levis
the rest of the year.
Will Levis's play has been about as bad as you can play. Turn the ball over 7 times. He has been.
Well, the only team that might have him beat is us.
Well,
as far as poor quarterback play.
The play right now is.
And you know that Will Levis, as bad as he's been, is capable of.
Well, I've seen his best game.
Stuff. Yep.
We've seen his best game. He had it against us. what's a good Will Levis look like? Go back and look at last year's game late in the year. That's the best Will Levis. He was throwing takeoffs. He was throwing against the X-Man. They were just. It was like they're picking on the X-Man. They're completing passes.
But Baldy, what he was saying about the sideline and no energy and all that, like that to me is the most bogus part of this whole thing, because the Dolphins should be a desperate football team right now. And you better see that on Monday night. They better leave it all out there, you know, to steal a little cliche there. But they better play like a desperate football team, man. I want to see these guys, you know, because this is it, Joe. You lose to Tennessee at home, you're not going to beat anyone else.
You've got to win these next two games.
I'm not even jumping to the next game, Joe.
I know. We'll worry about the next game.
You got to figure out a way to beat this team.
You do. You do need to beat. This is an 0-3 team, and they've been really, really bad offensively.
The only team worse offensively is us.
Yeah. Well, we're 11 points a game. We are dead last. Doesn't that seem crazy? Average 29 points a game. Well, it's because of the Denver game. I don't care what it is. It says 29 points a game.
But and in then, fairness, if you look at the way last season ended, it just feels like a carryover. So,
yeah.
But am I shocked that the Dolphins are going out there putting up 3 points? No NFL team should be putting up 3 points. I don't care who your quarterback is.
Not good. Nope. No,
especially
I agree.
When you get a pick and you get the ball at the 5.
Yeah.
Was it the 5?
That's the only way.
6?
By the way, that's the only way you got your 3 points.
Yeah,
you kick basically an extra point because you couldn't move the ball. All right, hey, listen, we got Michael Silver going to join us. Can't wait to talk to him about everything with Mike McDaniel and the book and everything. Ask him a little bit about the Golden Bears. What the Miami Hurricanes? Can I do that? Is that okay? Is that out of bounds or no?
You're looking ahead, but it's fine.
That's what I do.
Ask him about these late-night start times.
Nobody cares. They don't care out there. He's on the West Coast. He goes, I'm fine. What about you? You got a problem? He doesn't want to hear you whine. All right, we got to go to break here, but before we do, I want to tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealers this morning. Man, it's never looked better than South Florida Chevy dealers right now. Suburbans and Tahoes are big, beautiful, comfortable SUVs, and guess what? We got the new 2025 Tahoes coming out. Oh, they've already teased me. Why did you tell me how nice they are? Oh, I got to have one. Yes, I do. The midsize, that Traverse, it's nice. And I almost went, maybe I'll downsize a little bit. Not as many kids around, but I go, no, I need another Tahoe. The Trailblazer, the Equinox, the Blazer, style and substance, no matter what size SUV you're looking for, these are the best overall products, starting with one heck of a look. Right over to Silverado Trucks, and I always tell everybody this about durable Silverado trucks. They speak for themselves, but it's almost like they've custom made a Silverado truck that's perfect for your lifestyle. Whether it's full-time working truck, you need a family truck, need the combo truck, new and used, we've got something for everybody, even in the price you're looking for. Space, style, look, right over before I go to that Corvette. Man, I got to tell you, if this marriage doesn't work, I'm going right to the Corvette. Not to a new girlfriend, but to the new Corvette. Hey, qualified buyers get 1.9% APR on all 2024 Silverado 1500s, the Blazer EV, the Equinox, the Trailblazer, the Blazer, and the Colorado models, man. Chevrolet together in South Florida. Let's drive.
All right, it's time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline Shop. Hundreds of Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
Well, a guy that we've known for a long time, a fellow Golden Bear, Michael Silver, sports columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle, got a brand new book out. It's going to be coming out here soon. He's the author of The Why Is Everything, Kyle Shanahan and His Coaching Tree, Sean McVay. Yes, Mike McDaniel, Raheem Morris, and Matt LaFleur. Michael, good morning, brother. How you doing?
Joe, so good to talk to you, man. I'm fired up about this book. I think Dolphin fans are going to love the Mike McDaniel stuff and really all of it. And, you know, just stoked to be on the phone with a fellow Golden Bear.
Well, listen, I do want to ask you about their chances against UM coming up here in, just a little more than a week from now. But I do want to ask you about Mike McDaniel. Not a lot of people spend a lot of time one-on-one with them. So what did you – I know you've known him even going back to the Bay Area as offensive coordinator for Kyle, but what are your thoughts and what do you see from him that's made him – I mean, he's a different dude, as you know.
Yeah, and I hate sharing him with the world now. And really, like, the earliest stages of this book were conversations I was having with Mike, back in 2018, 2017 – about this crew and how they've really changed the game and have done things differently. And, you know something about his origin story. There's a lot more in here about how improbable it is that this guy ended up as an NFL head coach. And then I think there's some stuff that Dolphin fans are going to be pretty blown away by about how hard Kyle Shanahan tried to keep him from leaving. And part of that was Mike felt like he was kind of under Kyle's thumb. And part of it even involved, some moves Kyle made around the time of the Dolphins interviews that, seemed like he was trying to have Mike stay in San Francisco at all costs. So,
yeah, wow.
You know, it's really cool that he got that chance. It was his first ever head coaching interview. Obviously, he'd been through some stuff, on the personal side and had overcome that. And, I know it hasn't been perfect, but I think everybody has seen glimpses of just how, on it this guy can be.
Yeah, so Michael, I got to ask you this question because I know people are thinking it right now, Dolphin fans that are listening to us, and that is, so Mike is real, real player-friendly. Calls them teammates. I mean, he is. Wants to the guys. We don't yell. We critique, but we build back up. Are all those guys from that group? Are they all pretty much that way? Sean McVay and Raheem Morris, Matt LaFleur, even Kyle Shanahan.
Actually, no. I mean, I think they're all a certain way in terms of creative thinking and being open to innovating and getting rid of established paradigms. And Joe, as you know, football's had a long tradition of just do it because it works. We do
right.
It this way because that's how
right.
It's always been done.
Correct.
And, they're kind of the opposite of that, which is amazing. But Mike is the most like that. And I will say this, that is very sincere. How many coaches have I talked to over the years, including some of these guys, where, when you get them over beers and you start talking about things, they'll go, this guy's driving me crazy, or this guy can't do this. Mike always invariably would be like, yeah, but let me tell you about what he can do. You know,
yeah,
he has,
that's right.
He runs the greatest slant route, and he'll sincerely glow. And, and I think part of that is because Mike is a scrappy kid who couldn't get on the field, even at Yale. Right. So I think he appreciates that it's really, really hard to do this stuff, and that, being able to make it to this level is an incredible achievement, and that there's got to be something there. So I can understand if Dolphin fans, right now with such high expectations are looking for any reason that it's not going the way they want. I think, unfortunately, the biggest reason we all know is the quarterback is out, and that sucks.
Yeah, no, listen, and the old concussion thing, I know you and I were talking during the break here a little bit about that whole thing. And, hey, I got to ask you, we talk about Kyle Shanahan a little bit. He's come up short a couple of times, including back here in Miami in one of those Super Bowls. I always tell everybody, I think Kyle's the second or third best coach in the NFL. What about for you?
Yeah, I think he's a great coach, and the Super Bowl thing is kind of his, you know, it's part of his football tragedy right now, right? Like, he was the offensive coordinator for the Falcons, you know, Super Bowl 51.
Brady, yeah.
And, you know, the 28-3 lead. They had the 10-point lead in the middle of the fourth quarter in Miami for that Super Bowl against the Chiefs. And then they also had a 10-point lead in this most recent one, though it was a lot earlier. But, you know, obviously chances to win that Super Bowl. They've had a couple of crushing NFC championship game losses in between those Super Bowls. So, yeah, it's a lot. And, you know, I guess his role model would be Andy Reid, who has now beaten them for the second time in the Super Bowl. But all those years, Andy Reid had these great teams and was regarded as a great coach, but had not won the big one.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, he's now, you know, trying to figure out how many rings is, like, you know, gross. Like, if I win eight, is that going to be gross? Or, should I try to win nine? I don't know. Maybe I'll win seven. I mean, and I think those are the thoughts that run through your head when you combine a coach and quarterback at that level. And obviously, Patrick Mahomes is, you know, on a level above everyone. But I do believe in Brock Purdy that Kyle Shanahan has his guy who can take him there. Now, in doing this book, I spent a bunch of time with Mike Shanahan in that 2022 offseason, and in the book, you'll see he keeps telling me about the 262nd pick of the draft because he's seen some OTA tape and minicamp tape. And then finally, right before Trey Lance's first game as the unquestioned starter in September of 22, the day before, I go visit Mike Shanahan, and I'm asking him about Trey Lance, and he starts talking about Purdy again. And he says, when you have a guy like that, he says, you don't let him out of the building. And I'm thinking, Brock Purdy? Like,
yeah,
sure. Wow. He's still got it, though. Got to give it to Mike.
Yeah, hey, and I got to ask you another question about while you're out there. The Christian McCaffrey, who probably was everybody in fantasy football and wondering about, hey, how's my number one overall pick? Is he ever – what's the thought on him coming back from his injury?
Yeah, well, I don't know if he passed over Miami on his way to Germany, but, I'm no doctor, Joe, but it seems to me like there's a lot of cool stuff going on this continent. Never seems like a great sign when you go to a different continent anything medical. Apparently Germany is a little more aggressive when it comes to allowing, you know, some of the blood spinning type things and PRP, and again, not a doctor, but you know, it could just be an attempt to push the envelope healing wise. But you know, I don't like Achilles anything, and you know, the worry is that if he does come back, even if he's good to go, that there's a risk of it tearing at some point. I know this guy, he's gonna push really, really, really hard to get back. And, you know, sometimes you're just crossing your fingers.
Hey, Michael, I did want to ask you, too. Is Kyle Shanahan close? Because he and Sean McVay have had some great games, including this last one where Sean McVay's team comes from down, way down, to come back and win the game. Are they all pretty close to this day after everything?
You know, there's a lot of pettiness, and some of them are closer than others, but there is a chapter in this book called Enemy Friends. That's a quote from Raheem Morris about Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan. And I would say enemy first for a reason. You know, they've got to play twice a year. They became head coaches at the same time. And, you know, Kyle was the boss when they were all in Washington. He was the offensive coordinator, and they all kind of had to run to him and with their ideas and for approval. So there is that dynamic there still. You know, I would say Sean McVay and Matt LaFleur are really close. Kyle Shanahan and Raheem Morris are so close that they once got arrested together, thrown in a paddy wagon, and that was a solidarity arrest on Kyle Shanahan's part. Mike McDaniel, I think, pretty much is loved by that whole crew, and so is Raheem. But, you know, I think when they get together, it's all love because they haven't seen each other for a while. But put it this way, Sean and Kyle aren't like sitting there texting this week, debriefing after the game the 49ers blew in L.A. It's definitely definitely very charged.
Hey, I want to let everybody know the Why Is Everything will be released nationally on Tuesday, October 1st, and then it can be pre-ordered now for whatever bookstores that it's sold. Is it going to be at every bookstore, pretty much?
Yeah, it'll be everywhere, and, you know, hoping to do something for that 49er-Dolphin game closer to Christmas. But I would say don't wait till Christmas. Go to any of my social media bios. The pre-order links are there. Amazon is obviously an easy way to do it. Or on Tuesday, anywhere you buy your books. I'm telling you, Dolphin fans or not, you're going to be stoked. There's enough dirt in there alone that I think everyone will enjoy it. I think you'll get an understanding of how football culture has really changed, because Joe had to come up in an era where not only did they not tell him why something was being run, they probably didn't know themselves. They just knew it worked for a previous coach. But Joe, like, what would have happened if you came in as an NFL rookie and you were like, hey, why do we run this play? Why do we do it this way?
That would not fly with Don Shula. No, he told you it worked. It worked with Zonka kick and Mercury and Moorfield, and it's going to work for you. So shut up and just do it. Exactly. Hey, Michael, man, it's been great being with you. I appreciate you getting up early out on the West Coast. Thank you. Golden Bears, any shot of beating UM?
Hey, you know, Joe, we always have a shot. We are the California Golden Bears. I know Mario Cristobal knows that from his days in the Pac-12, and we're going to put up a fight. You know, Cal should be coming off a win over Florida State. Not so good on the kicker and offensive.
Oh, my gosh,
we
got to get a kicker. Oh, my gosh. There got to be a smart kicker out there somewhere.
Believe it or not, last year we had Mick Luckhurst's son, and I'm sure he's a great kid, but he may have inherited his kicking genes from his mom.
He should have been swinging a club, man. I got you. That's funny. Michael, thanks, brother. You take care of yourself.
All right, Joe. Love you, man.
All right. Michael Silver, sports columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle and the new book, The Why Is Everything. Hey, that's going to do it for our show. Man, it's been great. I had such a good time. I can't wait for a little football Friday. We'll have a lot of high school stuff tomorrow as well. And it's Canes and Virginia Tech. Little teaser tonight, little NFL football game to talk about tomorrow morning too as well. Have a great day, everybody.